for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
I'll watch this, whatever you have coming up, see how you perform. And if I think it's worth Orcus's time to actually have you draw attention to yourself as to draw attention away from us, then we'll move forward with the plan.
It's just so matter of fact, it sounds like they're on their way.
Fireball erupts, blasting you back and into the surrounding undead.
I'm just going to try and do whatever damage I can.
Yeah, Margaret will start swinging her Mace of Disruption.
Arvid, you got any plans here?
Just a moment. I can summon perhaps some help.
These four are proving an issue for you.
I'm going to look up at the dais and then at Lex and then just fly forward and scoop my arms.
Not ready for this yet. And he casts Dimension Door beneath you.
You know, he can see where Thelonious is, so he puts it, like, just above him.
Oh, please, dear boy. And he casts Counterspell, which is not just going to shut your door, but rather redirect your door, and it's going to open at the top of the cavern. Squirming black tentacles fill a 20-foot square. They begin reaching up and, like, clubbing you.
I will use my reaction to cast Hellish Rebuke.
Then I'm going to fly down and do a shield strike and try to move him 5 feet and tumble him down the stairs.
Arvid has to make a strength saving throw, which he does not make.
Things aren't going the way Lex wanted. Now his boyfriend's half dead and his best friend's just fell from the ceiling. It's very bad.
And then we hear this crack. Margaret, you see Thea and what you recognize as Flint, along with a small red-haired pigtailed gnome. The undead are quickly rushing back to them, and there's another crack off into the distance, and a tall Goliath falls down. What is happening? Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
I can barely hear anything. What? Your clap was so loud. She, her. And I'm playing today, guys. Playing today. And I'm playing... and I'm playing Thea Amastasia, she, her. And I'm playing Gael Nighthunter Ogalakanu, she, they.
Yeah, what I didn't realize in the last one is that Amy listed so many character names. I was like, oh, one of them's got to be in it.
I didn't list any. I said, I don't know.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
I
just knew Amy played so many characters. Like, one of them will be in it at some point.
At the very, very end.
Nope, sorry.
I kept trying to be like, and what's Flanks up to at this moment? And you're like, you're not in this one, Amy. No.
So if you heard heavy breathing in the back of that episode, that's just Amy hanging out. Also with us, Rev Deshane.
Hey, he, him, and I am Margaret Broadcloak, she, her.
And Tom Lair.
He, him, and I'm playing a fairy hurt Perseus and Flint.
And Kyle Classett.
Hey, he, him, I will be playing Varanox, he, him, and I'm excited to do this. Let's go.
And Carla Maxted.
Wow.
She, her, and I'll be playing Lex, he, him, and Lipsinky, she, her.
So many characters back. We did it, everybody. We some people played no characters for one show and one character. What, how did it feel to play one individual character for a brief moment?
I mean, good until you screwed over my idea.
Ooh, Tom's holding on to some.
But otherwise, great.
Tom's like, if it was my game, I totally would have let you Pac-Man his head.
Well, for the amount of times that you cried when I wouldn't let you use Cloud of Daggers.
Wes is a bit of a baby about it.
If you'd like to hear that, true. You can go to our Patreon, listen to the game that Tom DMs, where he is the kindest DM.
The kindest, so kind. Gentlest DM who just handholds us through so many, lets us do whatever we want.
Handholds and railroads at the same time. Yeah. It's quite weird.
Can I sort of slip? You just said kindless.
Did I?
You sure did.
Oh.
And I was like...
But you also get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Trent Ash.
Hey, thanks, Trent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trent. And you can join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. It would be the kindest thing you could do. And now, fuck it, let's play. Okay. Boom, crash.
The sound of my heart, the beat goes on and on and on and on.
Is that our entrance music?
I think so.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I can feel good about that, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty good.
A crack rings out and a thud as your body hits the ground, Night Hunter. Tell me what you were doing before you ended up here on the beach back in the future.
Well, Night Hunter was ready to make a stand next to their beloved wife and like just ready to essentially just die on the front lines, I think. Like her, Elia, I mean... Opal was somewhere there too, and just kind of ready to hold down the fort or die trying. That's the last thing that that she remembers.
As you stared down Orcus's forces, this crack rang out from the tent that blew it apart. That signified that the travelers, with the intent to go to the abyss, had left. And you feel yourself, as you rush forward, being whipped up into this hurricane of energy. You look to your side and you see Elia leaping off of these undead, who looks back at you, and you lock eyes as you disappear from that scene. You now lie prone on the stone floor of this cavern that you're in. You hear groans of undead and swift moving behind you. What do you do?
Can I use an action to spring up?
It would be half your movement. It doesn't need to be an action.
Oh, okay.
You can use an action if you want to. But
no,
that's...
it's fine. No, because, no.
If you wanted to do that cool thing where people, like, jump to their feet from on their back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to, but I'm not using an action for it. I'm just going to do it.
I feel like that's just how Night Hunter gets
up.
Yeah,
so run-of-the-mill for her.
Well, I don't know, because she's not lithe, right? So she's, like, really big and bulky. So I don't think that she probably fell, like, forward in a, you know, like, crouching kind of, like, splayed. And then, like, is slowly... You know when people get up cool? I don't know. You know.
Yeah.
You know people not springing up, but like stepping up and they're lifting their head in the last moment, like, the fuck is going on here? And without even thinking, she just starts she's got her weapons, right?
Yeah, you have everything that was on you.
Okay, just didn't lose it in the whipping tornado she got whisked away in.
Yeah, no, you well, you had it in your hand, so likely it like fell to the ground, so you picked it up as you stood.
So as they get up, during the last straightening moment, she whips her arm out and slices to the side and behind her as she becomes aware that she is surrounded by the undead. Because this is exactly the way she left things. So she's just wielding Corpse Grinder around.
In a hurricane, undead are being dispelled and the black ichor from their bodies is being like plastered across the wall as everybody else sees this Goliath enter from who knows where and begin clearing the spot around themselves. Thea, Flint, and Lipsinki, you land, you see Night Hunter, or the what presumably is Night Hunter, crash down a distance from you. You've made Lex and Margaret off into the back, and Thea, you specifically see Thelonious at the top of the dais with another figure who looks familiar, kind of off into the shadows behind him.
Insert cool thing she says here.
just cut it back in, Russ.
Yeah, oh, okay. If you could, we'll just do a couple takes later. I don't know how it's gonna be like. I want to loose an arrow. I don't want to waste any time. Thea raises her head, sees Prim's Bane, grabs her oath bow, and fucking just shoots an arrow at him. But
and
before
just
she
does some whispering.
Before she does, she whispers to it so gently. Swift death to you who have wronged me. Woo-shoo! That's the sound an arrow makes.
I love it.
I don't know if you knew that. All right. Oh, please. Fuck off.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
She's taken off
she
her headphones.
She took off her headphones. Yep. It's a bad sign.
Amy is leaving the room.
It's fine. It's fine.
What happened, Amy?
I don't want to talk about it. You haven't said it in so long. There's too much of a buildup. There's too much pressure.
It's true. There was only one way it could go.
I this right sound effect. Fuck. Okay. So Thea, does what Thea does, and I think just like as she's even like notching the arrow in the bow, it's like swift, and she's like, seething mad, right? She's like, swift death, and she's like, can't get it, and the performance, and there's things around, and I don't even think she gets it off, and like kind of it like boing, and then like 2 feet in front of her. That was fucking embarrassing. God damn it.
As a nat one, in case.
I mean, we all put it together.
I know, you put it together. I just wanted to say it out loud.
Klaatu, Varrakta, Nikto moment there.
I'm so mad. Well, I have another attack. Can I, fucking just try some? Or it's like, is it done?
I think you're good. You came back, you said your sweet catchphrase, you did what you usually do, roll a one.
Oh. So the fans are getting just everything.
This is a lot of fan service going on.
This is the endgame fan service episode. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to listen. You know what? Thea will just contemplate her life choices at this moment, and I'll just play Night Hunter for a while.
Flint and Lipsinki.
I'll throw my dwarven hammer at this asshole.
Thelonious is the asshole you're throwing at?
No, at Thea for fucking that up. Get it together, asshole.
All right, that's enough out of you. All right, that is a dirty 20 on the first one.
Nice.
And
the juxtaposition of our characters is just fantastic.
Now,
25 on the second one, Russ.
You loose your hammer, flies through the air, goes out, and it strikes him, and then on the recoil, hits him again on the way back. Okay. Give me some damage, please.
I can definitely do that. It's 12 on the first one, and 12 on the second one.
Thea leans over and goes, "Hey, thanks for stepping in there. Thanks."
Yeah, you know, I got your back.
Do you think they saw?
Oh yeah, everybody saw, especially that cool Goliath over there.
Lipsinki, you are looking around. You see the chaos that's happening around you. You hear just this
before you met Varanox, how the messages you got from your patron were echoing and distant and sporadic, and like there were multiple voices coming from everywhere all at once. Whereas after you met Varanox, things became a little more clearer. Things are now back to that chaotic mind state that you have been out of for 10 years. You look up to the dais and you see the hammer fly, and it hits this dark elf who falls, falls from this flying position down to the top of this dais. And in that, you see a figure kind of move in and out of a shadow. You get a distinct feeling that this individual looks very much like Varanox, who you left deceased back in the timeline, who was crushed by orcas.
Y'all, he's here. They landed us right here. All right, you guys, I'm just gonna go. Varanox is up there, so. And I'm just going to start making my way to the front towards my friend.
Undead all in front of you.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I'll do something about that.
Yeah, no, I know that's what you were looking for. I'm just, you know, laying the scene so you're not just like, I'm gonna walk up.
I'm just gonna stroll on over.
They bow as she passes.
That's right.
We all have questions.
Oh, well, that's cool, but I'm not going to do that.
I don't.
Save that one for later.
I mean, don't save them all for later. Russ might totally drop you from 250 feet in the air.
True. I think that I will just, like, my bracers will turn into, like, Sharpie's coming out, and I'm swinging Sharpie the shovel back and forth just to, like...
Yeah.
Clear it, you know? Just
to raise the undead in front of you. Yeah.
Exactly. Because now I've got a mission. And yeah, I don't know Thelonious. So, like,
he doesn't care
about that at all.
Love that. We see you break off from the group and just begin cutting down people in front of you.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
We go back to Lex and Margaret, who have kind of huddled down behind a spot of rubble. Margaret, you're holding off undead, as Lex, you are greatly injured, being torn at and crushed by the onslaught of undead.
We obviously, like, from our vantage point, have seen these people arrive.
Yeah, there's bright light.
We determined that Lex and Lipsinky do know each other from the prison? Or
have
we not established
that?
They would have both been in there at the same time.
So they should for sure have a conversation.
I mean, certainly I feel like Lipsinky knows Perseus in rat form.
Fuck yeah.
Right? Because...
I forgot that thread. Shit.
Ooh, there's a never-ending
tapestry.
There's a never-ending number of threads you've woven.
Yeah, this is on you.
I know. That's totally on me. I forgot those two happened concurrent or like right after each other. Like, cause you played Lipsinky and then we on the escape found Lex, right?
Yeah.
And Perseus. Ah, son of a bitch. All right. Well. Amy rolled
I forgot
a storyline. All right.
I don't know that that matters other than Lex, like, has a spark of recognition.
You would definitely recognize Thea and Flint.
Yeah.
Flint being much more dragonborn-y looking. And then probably, Perseus for sure would have recognized. Perseus as being attacked by undead, though.
Yeah.
He's a little preoccupied.
Likely
and
you would
I
have
wouldn't,
seen...
I wouldn't recognize Perseus in this form because I only knew him as Rat.
Yes.
Just saying, if we are alive in a few minutes, maybe they can reunite. That'll be nice.
Yeah, cool. Love it. Great.
Yeah.
Hint of recognition, maybe through an open door, passing a window kind of thing as you are being led to and from different areas of the building. Yeah. Love it.
All that to say, what I do is... Margaret, what do we do? We came here, we found him, and they're very powerful, those that just arrived, but I feel like we failed.
Well, we're not going to do any good here. If we're going to make any kind of a chance, we got to get to them.
You're right. Let's go. I start, like, slogging my way forward. Not thinking of a good plan, just, like, movement.
The two of you begin cutting your way forward in this scene, making your way to Flint and Thea would be the first people that you approach. Thelonious has fallen to the dais, and he turns and looks at Varnox, and he says, "Who are we even supposed to be distracting?"
It's like you picked up in the middle of conversation
from
you're having
so long ago.
Well, at this point, Thelonious, I don't think it really matters. It seems like with the arrival of some prestigious heroes, you may actually find your end here, and if you really need to know, well, Waterdeep. We were going for Waterdeep. Keep people in Waterdeep so we can set up a summoning pool in Blackpool. Something small, something off the beaten path. No one would think to look there. But you'll take that secret with you to your grave. And, if it's my turn, I'll attack.
He's, for all intents and purposes, prone at this point, so with advantage.
Oh, dope. All right, that is going to be an 18. Second attack is either a 25. It's a 25.
Please make a wisdom saving throw as you swing down towards Thelonious.
Okie dokie. That wisdom saving throw is going to be a 32.
Wowza. Give me some damage then.
All right, that's going to be 7 bludgeoning, 13 necrotic, and then for the second attack, it will be 5 bludgeoning damage, 20 necrotic.
Wow.
Ouchie.
Wow.
Forgot your wisdom was so fucking good, hey?
Wisdom.
Yes. Thelonious apparently didn't know who I was, but I knew who Thelonious was.
There you go.
You did your homework.
He was, for players, he was trying to temporal shunt you, so... basically, you just disappear to another point in time and then return on your next action. At which point, yeah, very cool spell that is when cool. It works.
Imagine yes. All of us sitting there going like, "Oh, come on, the whole thing."
He was right yeah. there.
Another point in time that would have been great, and then probably dies like between, and then yeah, you never come back.
Yeah. Aw. No, we got Japes.
Yeah, that's right. Japes is the new
Japes
right.
in the wings.
Okay. Two huge blows go down into Thelonious, who crumples down to the ground. He's not dead. He's one powerful wizard, hey? for anybody playing the home game, keeping track of hit points, don't.
Meaty wizard.
That's right.
I'm just standing over, kind of like looking straight face down at him like, this is your end.
Not yet. Fall, you fucker. And he casts Dimension Door beneath you.
Counterspell.
He casts Counterspell. No, I don't think I can reaction to reaction,
it's
can
just
I?
An endless loop of them counterspelling one another.
Now, to be fair, my Counterspell has to be cast at a fifth level. Have to be a roll on that.
So Dimension Door is being cast at a fourth level spell. So first you would need to succeed on a what did we say? A saving throw of something?
Wisdom, I think.
Wisdom.
Yeah. When you cast a spell using a slot of fourth or higher, the interrupted spell has no effect if the level is less than or equal to the level of the spell slot. So I'm at fifth, you're at fourth. It would just cancel out without a roll.
Canceled out.
Son of a bitch. Okay, well then. And then we're going to do what the internet says, and he's going to try and counterspell you. So you're casting it at fifth, so I got to succeed on a DC 10 plus the spell's
15
level.
Might work.
Okay, here we go. Come on. Big money, big money, big money, big money. It's a 16 on the die.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So the scene, the portal is beginning to appear beneath you, and we see Varanox casting Counterspell, which is beginning to close, and then Thelonious says, "Fuck no, not today!" and wags his finger up at Varanox. That sends like this reverberating like wave that just extinguishes his Counterspell, and we see Varanox disappear into the Dimension Door, and we want to drop you 250 feet, or do we want to move you somewhere else?
You do whatever you're feeling. What do you think? What do you think Thelonious would do?
I think he'd drop you 250 feet.
Drop it like it's hot.
You go up, and you see Varanox begin to fall. Lex and Margaret, you are beginning to make your way, and you see Lex specifically, you see over top of these undead, and you see Flint and Thea beginning to walk away from you. So like this point in the middle that would have helped you is now moving farther away.
I guess I assumed, Rev, that Margaret and I were also going to try and like just dip in and pick up Arvid and Perseus on the way to where, you know, try and get them out. I don't think Lex is so focused on vengeance that he would be forgetting his one true creepy love and his best friend. So I think, Thelonious is a little bit secondary to Lex than like getting the hordes off of his.
Okay, you're making your way to Arvid. He would have been the closest at this point. You're clearing the way. Margaret using her shield and mace, and you using your sword, and you get to a point where you last saw Arvid. And as you get there, you clear away the undead, and can you roll me a dice?
What kind of dice?
A d20. A d20 dice.
Do I want to roll low or high?
I want you to roll. It's for a strength saving throw.
12.
You get to that point,
and clear away, and you see the lifeless body of Arvid.
Can I?
I don't know if you want me to describe him, but I'm going to because this is an audio podcast.
It's an audio podcast.
I guess I do need you to because I need to know, like, what is he dead, or like D&D dead? Because there's things I can do if he's just D&D dead, but if he's like smushed or something, then
his body has been picked and torn apart. He is spread over a good distance. His belongings no longer there.
This isn't because of the 12-year-old, is it?
Oh, no.
That's really rude, Riz. My God, take responsibility. Fuck.
Look, I already rolled and he died. I was trying to get you to roll to save him.
I think that... had Lex been built with tear ducts, there would be tears. But unfortunately, he does not have that way of expressing himself. But there probably is even a further slowing of his steps. Like, he is quite injured himself and already kind of feeling like, I don't know if we can win this day. Yeah, so, like, it's a real bummer, I guess is what I'm saying. It's a real downer here.
Margaret, you see the scene ahead of you, too, but you also see the downturn in Lex and the slowing of what they're doing.
I think that, you know, this is not a sight that is unfamiliar to Margaret. Of and having lost people in a battle like this, especially something this large, and, you know, pushing back at these undead with the shield. Come on, Lex. We gotta keep moving. Don't let it be for nothing.
You're right. Perseus is still there, and I want us to be alive, and I want Thelonious to be dead, but I want us to be alive more.
Two of you begin pressing forward again, Thea and Flint. You follow in behind Lipsinky. Lipsinky, you had your eyes set on who you saw as Varanox, and were further confirmed as Varanox stepped out of the shadows to try and strike down Thelonious. You now see Varanox dimension-doored up and now falling 250 feet down towards the earth below.
Think of that. What can I do? Save my friend.
Does Thea see it too? Can she help out if Lipsinky is...
Yeah, at this point, Thea... At this point, Thea and Flint, you would have seen Varanox step out, especially after Lipsinky called and said, he's here!
Yeah, right.
that's where you were making it to. So all three of you see this scene.
Okay.
Varanox falling.
Can I do something cool?
You gotta do it now if you're gonna do it.
Thea looks up and sees Varanox start to fall through... portal in the ceiling, essentially, and she runs forward and using her wild shape, which she doesn't get often do because barely she forgets she's a druid, she wild shapes into a clockwork dragon and flies upward to intercept or to at least, at the very least, slow down Varanox's fall.
Good timing.
For everybody else, you see this, like the cool foley that's playing in the background is really, really awesome. As this mechanical dragon explodes from the ground, and Varanox, you see in one moment you're on the ground trying to counterspell Thelonious. Next, you're falling feet first towards the ground, and you see this dragon rushing up beneath you. What do you do?
Just go. I didn't know he could just summon. Okay, that's very different. I'm going to try to grab onto the dragon because I definitely don't want to fall.
No, take it from me. It's not great.
No.
You reach out to grab the dragon. The dragon, unbeknownst to you, is trying to save you as well. So I feel like this works because you're both trying to do the same thing without knowing that you're doing the same thing.
Right.
So Thea's going to, I assume, put yourself in a good position to be able to be to have parts of you grabbed by
Yeah,
Varanox.
I'm hoping he's going to like land kind of on my back, grab my tail kind of situation.
Right.
I mean, I'm not like a giant creature, but I could at least slow a fall.
As the scene plays out, Varanox, I assume there's a bit of uncertainty not knowing who the dragon came from, but clarity comes, at least in some respect, when you're able to grab onto the dragon and it doesn't just try and chomp you
right.
from the feet up. You then said you go and try and dragon and breath weapon.
Yeah, as I'm sailing forward in the direction of Thelonious, I want to release a fire breath. It's a 15-foot cone.
Mm-hmm.
Must make a dexterity saving throw.
What happens is his protective dome comes up.
Of course it does.
As he sees you go to save Varanox and then fly another 150 feet towards him, time and perspective works in his favor in that moment.
Fine. As my breath weapon doesn't work, I slow us to the ground.
On the dais?
I hover in the air.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the middle. Thought I'd come in nice and quiet, just kind of like sneak in here, because I have something that I want to tell you. It's almost my birthday! And because it's almost my birthday, I've decided to do game time this month. And we've got two amazing people who are going to be playing, patrons, but I'd really love three. Three's my favorite number, so maybe even four. Five would be great. So I'm getting a little greedy. It is my birthday, though, so consider it, because I would love to play with you.
You were doing so well. We weren't sure if we wanted to like steal the
shadow or the
thunder. I felt like you were crushing it.
Yeah.
I know. That was like 100% Amy and 100% great.
And that's how Amy runs game time, is 100% great.
100% yep. great. I know exactly what I'm doing. You're in safe hands.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 greats agree.
Everybody always has a great time at Amy's table. And we can't wait for, well, Carla's playing in it because Carla never gets to play with Amy at game times.
And it is always shenanigans.
Always.
It's true.
Always shenanigans.
So patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can sign up for any tier there. But if you want to play in Amy's game time, which is coming up on April 23rd, 2022, the year of right now, you can play with Amy. It's a morning game for us. So it's like a, you know, like a lunch hour Eastern-ish game. But all the details are at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Take it out, Amy.
I'd really love it if you could come play with me for my birthday. Make sure that you put Bailey's or something in your coffee because you're going to need it. It's going to be crazy.
Did Amy mention it's her birthday?
Guys.
No pressure. Birthday.
But a little bit of pressure because that's what birthdays are for.
Don't disappoint the birthday
girl. Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm turning 35. So.
So there you go.
It's an important one.
All right.
Love you. Bye. Oh, I mean, do it. I love you. Bye.
Let's go back to Flint and Lipsinky. Dragon goes to save Varanox as both of you are like flipping through your Rolodex of cool vines to do and other doors to open. Thea's got mm-hmm. this one. You see Thelonious, the protective shield that is put up.
I want to cast haste on Lipsinky.
What does that give Lipsinky?
Target speed is doubled, gains +2 bonus to AC, has advantage on dex saving throws, and gains additional actions on each of his turns. An additional action.
Nice.
So that action can be used to take the attack, dash, disengage, hide, or use an object action.
Lipsinky's going to now attack Thelonious, because now Thelonious did some shit to Varnox, so she knows him now. So she's going to Eldritch Blast him. Normally only has one attack, but I'm pretty sure I just got another one.
In case it changes your mind, you did see a protective barrier go up as a flame of dragon breath didn't seem to hit him.
Well, goddammit, that's my coolest thing I can do. Why can't I hurt him?
What's your dig speed?
My dig speed? Great question.
I think it's under Sharpie.
Yep. It's very long because it's a cool thing someone made and made it very...
Thank you, Devin.
Digging speed by 30 feet. Cut through stone at 1 foot per action.
Ooh.
Oh, so that's rough.
I mean, better than a regular shovel.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. Yep.
True.
Yeah, so I can't attack that fucker, eh? Or I can, but it's just a waste, so I don't want to do that.
You have clocked that there's another group in the room also making their way towards?
Yeah, I mean, if Lipsinky was a different person, I think that would matter.
Know thyself.
Yeah, so I'll just keep going and going faster now and attacking zombies with Sharpie, I guess, on the way to Thelonious, because now I don't like him.
Awesome. Lipsinky, you take off. Flint in hot pursuit. Night Hunter. How's Night Hunter doing?
How is Night Hunter?
Probably loving it.
Probably killed like 2,000 zombies.
Emotionally, not great.
No.
Feeling very out of place, feeling... like just playing the look on Elia's face as she was sucked away over and over and over again, which I just think is intensifying the amount of slashing and chopping and slicing that she is doing in this group of undead.
Scene we see with Night Hunter is like these, like in the action movies when like John Wick is remembering his dog in that moment, with the quick like flashes back to the one you love. It sounded goofy, but the sentiment is there.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes, she's feeling all the John Wick feelings.
You know,
right,
like
now
time has slowed down, and you're just carving through the things around you, taking the occasional like claw or bite or like thud against you. You get rushed on and like blast them apart at one point, and it's really cool.
Yeah, because I mean, like
just leaving
and
a pile
fuck,
of bodies.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Lex and Margaret, you are slowly making your way towards where Perseus was last seen. Tom has rolled a strength saving throw for me. Tom, please tell everybody what that is so it's not like I'm just making shit up.
It was an 18.
Okay. You're clearing away, and you get over top of where Perseus was, and you see his belongings in the bag and the clothes, and it looks like he's gone.
I think Lex like falls to his knees. Perseus, are you here? And maybe even is sadly kind of like trying to look around like for parts just to know for sure that he's gone, because
it's definitely not exactly the same scene that you saw with Arvid, and you are moving through his belongings, and Margaret, you're holding back the undead around you, and you hear a small squeak. And Perseus the rat makes his way out of the clothing and the satchel and out of that, and scurries up your arm and into your pocket.
Oh, Perseus, thank God. We'll figure it out. Or you can stay like that if you want. It's fine too. I just, oh. And still kind of on my knees, I think I just look at Margaret like, okay, so grateful, because I've really just been counting on her to keep me safe as I'm doing this very ill-advised thing, like crawling around on the floor. And get up and feel like a bit renewed. I am not completely alone again.
This is the moment, Lex. We could leave. We could fly out that door right now. Do you want to keep going, or are we staying?
Well, like you said, we can't make it all for nothing. Arvid's gone, and we've made it all the way here, so I think we keep trying, if you're willing.
I think in response, I scoop him up now that he has found, now that we know about the two other party members, and actually fly us to the center group.
Part of the scene, Margaret scoops Lex, and Perseus is inside of Lex's shoulder. Flint and Lipsinky are making their way towards the dais. The clockwork dragon and Varanox are hovering just above the dais, setting down behind Thelonious, who is standing up before everyone, making their way towards him. And Margaret and Lex, you are the first to make your way to the top of this dais. As you get over top of it, Margaret, how do you release Lex?
Yeah, I think I just land us both down.
The two of you land down in front of Thelonious, who looks at you and... Lex, it was supposed to be so much better with the two of us. It wasn't supposed to be this messy. Right, Farnox? It wasn't supposed to be this messy, okay? You can still... You're strong. You can still come and help me help you.
I would never help you. And I guess I'm going to try and attack him. I know he's in his little bubble because he's a big wiener, but...
as he's just softening, quote unquote, trying to...
I get your mind out of gutter. I thought the same thing,
you
but
can't
I...
call him a big wiener, and then you talk about him softening.
Yeah, fair enough. My bad. As he's trying to relay this emotion towards you.
Rev belongs here.
Yeah. He, and you grab your weapon and begin to charge towards him. His face shifts. And Margaret, you feel the same heat as when he last cast Fireball. And you see it welling up in his hands in front of him, and he releases it towards Lex as Lex is charging towards him.
I'm going to use Vigilant Guardian, which lets me switch places with someone. Like, seeing that this... I know that we are both in bad shape, and seeing this fireball coming at Lex, I switch places with him.
The fireball erupts towards Lex, and Lex, you see this light rushing towards you, and in a flash, you are back and off to the side, and you see Margaret taking the brunt of this fireball, engulfed in this flame as it passes over her and further back into this cavern, exploding on the wall. Describe the stance... Describe the scene that Lex sees of Margaret.
There is this moment where they switch places, that it's like the shield kind of breaks in front of Lex and moves him back and to the side. And as the fire runs over the shield and starts to engulf Margaret, she is bracing against it and looks back at Lex, and there's just a little bit of a smile, and with her free hand she casts back her mace to Lex's feet, and then the smile and Margaret are both gone.
There's a look of satisfaction in Thelonious's eyes, then a look of confusion as he sees not Lex before him, but Margaret. And he looks over to Lex with this almost relieved sensation washing over his face.
Well, I guess I pick up that dope mace. Don't want that to be for nothing.
And as you pick up the mace, you see that in the leather around it, it has a something etched in it. And it says, "We watch out for those who others overlook."
And as I read that, I think I'm going to quickly reach into my pocket, pull Perseus out, and give him a little smooch on his cute little furry head. Say, "You take care of yourself, buddy." And put him down, because I'm going to run at Thelonious again, and I don't want to carry him there with me.
Thelonious is stunned, for all intents and purposes, and is not moving as you run towards him.
As sort of fast as I can with my shambling body, I go towards him with that mace, sort of in my last stand against him, because I'm not doing so great either.
You rush across and you swing down hard into Thelonious. Margaret's mace crushes down into his body. You hit him hard once and he falls to the ground. He looks up in disbelief and anger and fear. You reach back to hit him a second time, and as the mace hits, this black pool extends out from beneath you and splashes up and around the two of you and crashes down, and we hear crushing. And as this wave roils out, the two of them are gone.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 120, starring Amy Moore as Thea and Night Hunter, Carla Maxted as Lex and Lipsinki, Tom Laird as Perseus and Flint, with Kyle Classett as Varanox, Rev Deshane as Margaret Broadcloak, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. A huge thank you to our good friend Rev, who joined us consistently over the last 3 years to bring Margaret to life as a part of Team Lex. What started as a fun side arc one-shot turned into a story of dedication and heart while bringing workers' rights to the forefront across the realms. Thank you, Rev. Hear more from Rev on his show, The Crit Show, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Production and sound design of this episode is by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Darylith, Lulahan, Charlie Worley, L.A. Branton, and Nathaniel Teeter. You can support us and the shows we create directly by visiting patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Join us today to help us reach 100 patrons, and when we do, we'll host another hilarious and amazing exclusive live show for each and every one of our patrons. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Guys, I'm like 98 degrees, which is absolutely true. But like in like centigrade, no, in like Kelvin, I'm not sure. I feel very warm right now. I'm really mad about what happened. I feel like I've been waiting such a long time to play and to like fight this character.
I've never been on an episode where you have gotten to play, so I think
is it living up to all the hype?
Rev has been coming back year after year after year.
Just waiting to play with me. Yeah, it's everything that you thought it would be and more, right?
Yeah. I if someone was gonna roll one die in my presence, why not that one?
It's gonna be that one. Can I do my cool thing, or do you want time to look something up?
I guess, do you want to talk amongst yourselves? What's going to be the coolest thing to do?
Okay, here's my thing. I want to shapeshift into a clockwork dragon. I want to fly and catch him on my back. And as I'm soaring toward Thelonious, I want to let out fire breath at him.
I want.
Well, I mean, I don't know what I could do that would be cooler than that. So I feel like,
yeah, I mean, as far as things that are cool,
I feel like that's a pretty fucking good one.
I was gonna summon a vine out of the wall to try to catch him.
That would have been good too. You know, I was like, I can open a different door, but that's just gonna send him somewhere
bad.
I'm trying to get this guy to like us. So
it's a whole Loki Doctor Strange situation.
That's
I've been
right.
falling
right.
for 30 minutes.
I switch places with him.
Counterspell on Margaret.
Just to be a dick.
You're not getting your Obi-Wan Kenobi moment.
I kid.
If Russ had just described that and I was like, oh man, that's too bad.
That's awesome.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It happened in the quiet town of Podunk, an ages-old family mystery.
What happened with Great-Grandpa? Why won't you talk about it?
Because there's nothing to say, Nintendo.
Begets an unprecedented paranormal event.
Help, brother!
Poltergeists.
My lamp attacked me. It was hovering the air. It unplugged itself and came at me.
Mind control.
Why is that crow smoking a cigarette?
Okay, we're playing inside today.
Zombies.
I could have gotten out of here on my own.
You were hiding in a coffin.
It was a good disguise.
Extraterrestrials.
You've seen them too? I've been observing them for days.
I beat up aliens with my baseball bat.
Children with psychokinetic powers.
I let that little light of mine shine, Mama. And it melted the darkness away.
And that's just the beginning.
Introducing Mother, She Wrote, a travelogue diary through the biggest cult phenomena in video game history, the Mother series, as it's called in Japan, and Earthbound, as it's called everywhere else.
Each episode, we recount the story through immersive audio drama as it's lived by the characters, unpacking the surreal adventures, tear-jerking moments, and what it all means.
If you're new to the series, we'll take you beyond the controller and into the story.
And if you're a longtime fan, relive these tales like never before and learn fascinating new facts about your favorite games.
Find Mother, She Wrote on your favorite podcast player and at mothershewrote.earth.